life. No, he owed no sin debt. He went to the cross, and the sins of the whole world were laid upon him. He tasted death for every man. He died, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he came forth from the grave alive forevermore. I thank God. I want to talk to you for a little bit about how God hears and answers prayer. And I thank God when we ask him to forgive our sin and we trust his finished work on the cross for our salvation. He hears and answers our prayer. He forgives our sin. He comes to live in our lives forever. And at that moment, we're born into God's family. You know, I thank God this is a spiritual birth that I'm talking about. We become the children of God. Each child of God has the privilege of talking regularly through prayer to his Heavenly Father. And that's what I'm preaching about with this, because I'm talking about truths that every Christian needs to know. God's Word tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God hears and he answers prayer, but we've got to believe that God is, and believe that he rewards them that are diligently seeking him. God extends an invitation to his children. In Jeremiah 33:3, he invites them to come in unto him and to call upon him. He says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, when you're considering the subject of prayer, all of us feel like failures. Though we pray, it seems we know so little about praying. And in Ephesians chapter 3, speaking of what God can do, the Bible gives us an amazing promise. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You know, Dr. John Rice wrote a wonderful book about prayer, explaining that prayer is simply asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. And this may seem kind of oversimplified for some people, but I admit that Dr. Rice knew more about praying than I do. And one of the greatest mistakes that we make in the Christian life is getting the idea that increased activity will make us more spiritual. We get so involved in things and we become so busy with things that we forget the important thing. And the important thing should be talking with God and allowing him to speak to us, calling unto God and allowing him to hear and answer our prayers. God hears and he answers prayer. And to get started the right way in the matter of prayer, I tell you, every of the truths that every Christian needs to know is first to admit our failure to pray. In the Gospel according to Luke, the disciples came. They were had inquiring hearts about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." You know, we instruct people by what we say. We inspire people to action by what we do. And when the disciples saw that the Lord Jesus was praying, they knew that it was the custom of his life to pray. They wanted him to teach them how to pray. He was the greatest teacher who ever lived. And I thank God, and yet they didn't say, "Lord, teach us to teach." He was the greatest preacher who ever lived, yet he didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach." They said, "We want to be able to talk to God, teach us to pray." And it was not a matter of teaching them how to pray. It was a matter of being motivated to pray. Some people have the idea that if we study prayer, we become more effective in prayer. I tell you, beholding a painting does not make one an artist. It may create a desire to become an artist, but the person that does not become an artist unless he puts a brush in the hand and they start to paint, amen. I tell you, studying the subject of prayer will not necessarily make us a more effective in prayer, but we trust that it creates an interest, a desire to pray. But studying the subject without being moved to the action will not make us more effective in prayer. There are many prayers that go unanswered. Some people say God answers every prayer, either yes or no. What I mean by unanswered prayer is that God will not hear it, and He says no. There are many prayers that go unanswered because there are conditions God gives in answering prayer. How many times have we heard someone pray, "Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing"? And in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The condition to God's opening the windows of heaven is that we're faithful in the matter of giving and paying the tithe to the Lord. Blessings are attached to a condition. Unless we meet the condition, God will not pour out the blessing. If there are things that we want from God, we need to know that there are conditions to God's providing those answers to prayer. God tells us why He'll not answer certain prayers. The Bible says in Matthew 6:5, "And when thou prayest, that thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." God is saying that if we pray just to be seen of men, or if we pray just for people to hear our words, He will not hear our prayers. Occasionally, I tell you, people, they pray as if they're trying to teach God something. They pray like, "Lord, you remember," or, "Lord, you know," God already knows everything. We don't need to attempt to teach Him anything. What they're really doing is speaking to the audience. We're all somewhat guilty of this, I tell you. The Bible says in verse 7 of the same chapter, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." In certain parts of the world, especially those so heavily steeped in false religions, there's habitual times of prayer that include prayers with a resemblance chants. They relate very well to the verse of Scripture. Sometimes when we pray, especially around mealtime, our prayers are no more than vain repetitions. We should thank God for the food that He's provided. We ought to ask Him to sanctify. But often we get in such a hurry that we don't take time to pray. We run in and as a ritual we repeat something as a child would repeat it. Something can be said quickly from your heart, but God will not hear vain repetitions. We should not ask why we want things from God. In James 4:3, the Bible says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." Many times we want our prayers answered for ourselves and not for the Lord and His glory. We might as well be praying in our name and not His. Most of us who have lived into adulthood can look at our lives in retrospect and thank God that He did not hear some of our prayers. If we had received everything that we had asked for, we'd be in bad shape. God will not hear prayers that are asked for our own lust. The two things for which God holds me most accountable are the two hardest things for me to pray. You might safely say, "Well, the minister should read the Bible and pray more than others read the Bible and pray." But if it's something the pastor should do, it's something we all should do. We cannot separate prayer from our Christian life. Prayer should be at the very heart of all of our lives. I tell you, let us pray each evening thanking God for His care and the keeping of our lives through the day and seeking His aid for our sleep during the night. And as we awake from sleep, let us pray that acknowledgement that the day belongs to God. Pray before each meal. Stay in an attitude of prayer as you face the decisions that confront you during the day. If you're a newborn Christian, listen to what I'm telling you. These are the truths that every Christian needs to know. Pray with those that are in need. God's Word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 25 years. You need to be praying. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be praying when you get up, when you eat, and when you lie down every night, and when you get back up in the morning. And though we profess to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we really have no Christian life without the Bible and prayer. That's the only way that we exist today. It's easy to know the things to say and to turn the automatic button on without really having our hearts touched. These are people who have been ineffective in prayer. I tell you, when they don't do the right thing, we want to be effective in our lives and exemplary in the matter of prayer. I tell you, a person such as George Mueller, he came to the place in his life when all that mattered to him was to live his life in a way that was approved unto God. For 10 years he got out of bed every morning, and the first thing he did was pray. And sometimes he'd pray for 15 minutes, and sometimes he'd pray for half an hour, and sometimes he'd pray for an hour. And he was like Robert Murray McKean, who said, I will see no man's face until I see the face of God. For 10 years, George Mueller began his day this way. He got out of bed. He immediately got on his knees and he prayed. And then he realized that he was going about it the wrong way. He said, hey, I should have brought my life in tune with God first, doing what was necessary to be happy in the Lord as a Christian. He used the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, not just to prove his point. His point had already been proven in practice, but to prove it for those he was trying to help. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He began taking the time to read God's Word first and to bring his heart in tune with the Lord. He made his heart happy in Jesus Christ. Then he entered into his presence through prayer. The Bible reveals God to us. Prayer brings God's power to us. And the point that George Mueller made is absolutely correct. When we try to pray, our old nature says, don't pray. You don't need to pray. You can make it on your own. You can work it out. Our old nature says, you don't need God. You can do it yourself. And when we take the time to read God's Word and feed our souls, letting God speak to us through His Word, we find happiness in Christ. We're brought in tune with the Lord, and we can speak to Him as we would speak to a friend. I thank God one of the things that we see is we need to pray because the devil is real. Why should we pray? We should pray because the devil is real. We're not going to win the victory against Satan without prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, it's in the Word of God that we learn that we can defeat the devil through prayer. We must pray because the devil is real. And when we don't pray, we leave the door open for the devil to enter. He's as a roaring lion that walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour, the Bible says. He'll walk by our door 1,000 times to find it open once. All Satan is looking for is the moment of his greatest temptation and the moment of our greatest weakness to come together. Man does not sin without will. And therefore, he must be strengthened to exercise his will against the devil. And when our Lord Jesus taught his disciples, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I thank God, temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. We should ask the Lord to keep us from temptation. There are places I shouldn't go. There are things I shouldn't look upon or listen to. There's some things that shouldn't enter my eye gate or ear gate because Satan will use my weaknesses. All of us are studied by Satan and his demons, especially those of us who are trying to serve God and do His will. We should depend upon God as helpless babes because the devil's real. We need to depend upon the Lord. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ha! I tell you, not only should we pray because the devil is real, we ought to pray to confess our sins, amen. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word to confess our sins means to say the same thing about them that God says. You know, as God's children, we shouldn't harbor unconfessed sin in our lives. We need to keep short accounts with God. Go to God in prayer every day to confess your sin and to find forgiveness and cleansing in Him. Pray because the devil's real. Pray to confess your sins, but also you need to pray to receive things from God. We should pray because this is the way God has designed for us to receive things from Him. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. There's a God in heaven who has everything we need, and He says that the way to get these things from Him is through prayer. God can do all things. He owns all things. He can provide all things. God has made a way to get things from Him, and that is through prayer, praise God. But my request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a precious promise. We should pray because our worries and cares can be done away with through prayer. We're so anxious about things, and most of the things we get anxious about never come to pass. We live such worrisome lives. The reason for this is not our personalities or our opinions. We are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, perhaps at this moment, you are in a time of great need. Wherever you are, whoever's listening to this message right now, even if it's by radio or cassette or CD, in the time of need that we should come before the Lord, He's made a way to meet our needs. There are two things that we're constantly dealing with all of our lives. One of them is lust. And every one of us has lust in their heart. We all have lust, a desire to have and a desire to do and a desire to be. All of us must deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We must also deal with lure. The world and the devil made sure that something is always dangling in front of us. People say, I never had such a hard time that I decided I was going to live for God. You know, when we make a decision to give our lives to Christ, the devil does everything in his power to destroy us. The devil gets much credit that he does not deserve. The world is out there luring us also. And in time of need, to the throne of grace, praying is God's way of meeting our needs. Amen. Well, I thank God. That's what's so wonderful. We've got to pray because the devil, he's real. Amen. Well, I thank God. Of all the praying that we do, we need to pray to confess our sins, pray to receive things from God, pray to deal with the worries and cares, pray for God to meet your need, but also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God. God has invited us to pray in Jesus' name. Why should we pray in the name of Jesus Christ? There's no name like Jesus' name. His name is the name of power and authority. There are awful moments of temptation when we simply cry out in Jesus' name, Jesus, help me. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray for His sake and for His glory. And the Bible says in John 14, verses 1 through 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you ever been in a place where you needed directions and you asked someone, hey, can you tell me how to get to so-and-so? And the person gave you the directions and you followed the directions and you may have been in the same situation and you asked someone, hey, how do you get to so-and-so? And he answered, let me show you. And the difference is that one person told you the way, but the other person became the way. The Lord Jesus didn't say, let me tell you the way. He said, I am the way. He is the way. And when we come into His presence, He is the way. He wants us to pray in His name. The Bible says in John 14:13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You know, if we ask anything in His name, He'll do it. This is powerful. And when we pray, we would do well to learn in the name of the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is His full title, Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of His authority and power. And as a new Christian or an old Christian, these are the truths that every Christian needs to know. We should pray because He has invited us to pray in His name, the name of all power and authority. In John 16:23 and through 26, the Bible says, "And in that day ye shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Hither have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. At that day ye shall ask in My name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." You know, we should pray because He's invited us to come into His name seeking what we need. Amen. Every one of us. I thank God we ought to pray because the devil is real. Amen. I really do. We ought to pray to confess our sins, pray to receive things from God, pray to deal with the worries and the cares, pray for God to meet your needs. Amen. I thank God you ought to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you ought to pray in closing because Jesus Christ is praying for you. We should pray to the God who hears and answers prayer, because the great work of Jesus Christ at this very moment is the work of intercession. The Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was a great work of redemption. And on Calvary, He bled and He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He came forth from the grave alive forevermore. And the great work of Christ at this moment is the work of interceding. He's interceding for us. Has He heard you lately? In the book of Hebrews, we read the great interceder. Hebrews 7:25, He says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." He, Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for us. And in 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We should pray because Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. I thank God we pray. I thank God we fail a lot of times. I thank God we pray and we worry ourselves sick sometimes. We pray and we live defeated lives. We pray or we dishonor God. We pray and we struggle through life, drifting aimlessly. We pray and the devil is the victor. And there's no middle ground a lot of times. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us, I thank God, every one of us, God can work a great work in your life if you will just let Him. Oh, I tell you, if you'll just give it over to Him, if you would just look to Him in your prayer life and ask Him what you need, amen, in this walk of life. Every one of us, that is exactly what we ought to be doing. And He's able to provide what it is that you're lacking in this daily walk of life, amen. Learn that God has invited His children to pray, and He's promised to hear and answer our prayer, and to know that our prayers will not be answered if we don't meet the conditions set forth in God's Word. To see that prayer should be at the very heart of the Christian's life. To show that we win victory over the devil through prayer. To learn to confess our sins to God in prayer daily. And to explain that prayer is the way God has designed for us to receive things from Him. To understand that we can deal with our worries and cares through prayer, and to recognize that God meets our needs as we seek Him in prayer. To see the importance of praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to realize that Jesus Christ is always praying for us before the Father in heaven. Listen, how long has it been since He's heard from you? Can you get a prayer through? Will it go beyond this season? I tell you, will you join me? Will you pray with me? And will you ask God to do something in your life and for those that are around you? I tell you, if you'll ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He'll be able to provide that if you'll pray it in the power that God and the authority that He's given you the ability.